Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com. Yeah. When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like
welcome
a
back to Hour 2 of the show. You can call in 713-780-3776 about anything. We talk a lot of TV. Thanks to Michael Carroll. He does a great job of telling us about things. And I don't think I got anything Michael mentioned on Friday, mostly because I was depressed watching this Danish show about, and it's in Danish, partly, some parts in English. It's about the entire country being flooded and them having to move all the Danish people to different parts of Europe and how European countries would take on refugees of Danish descent. And it struck me at some point as like what they did was put white people in the spot that normally is reserved for people of color of all different races when they have to be refugees and how countries would treat them. But this time it's Danish people who have to do it. Now, of course, not everyone in Denmark is white, but for the most part, the people in this show were all white. And it was like, either way, white, black, whoever you are, it's a rough watch to see countries determine who's right for the country and who's not. Oh, nah, sorry, not you. But you will take. So it's called, what's it called again? I was too depressed. Families Like Ours. It's like they split. The family gets split
that's
up.
That's even a depressing name.
Yeah, families get split up, and they're all across Europe trying to find where they're going to live now that Denmark is uninhabitable. And it's the stories of all these groups trying to find their way. It's a good show. You're not going to feel great. I have like 35 minutes of the final episode to go. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to cut this off and go to bed. But if you're looking for a well-done, depressing show in Danish, I've got one for you. Families Like Ours. Oof.
No offense. I don't think I'm looking for a depressing show in Danish.
I'm not doing it a service by telling you how depressing it is. But it was. It's just a lot of people taking L's. We'll see how the final 35 minutes go. That's all. And there's some kid who's good enough to play for Liverpool.
Oh.
He's like 9 or 10. And he's,
I'll take him.
And somehow, some way, he can predict kind of mystically. Like, it's not a sci-fi thing, but this kid has sight or something. Like, he'll draw a picture and they like tie it back to the picture and go, oh, is it about this person? Or is it about this person? We find out at the end who this person is that he drew this picture about. And as you can tell by my previous descriptions, whatever happened to that person is not good.
No.
Not good. So that's the odd part of it. It's a lot of grounded stuff. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, this Danish kid who's good enough to play for Liverpool's academy can draw a picture and it can predict a bad thing happening to someone. It's really out of place.
Yeah. It's like they just were like, what if we added a little bit of That's So Raven to to this very serious
show.
He does not
put on the That's So Raven face when she sees something. But he does have, like, he's a creepy kid, doesn't talk very much. But what he doesn't say in words, he draws in pictures. So, Families Like Ours on Netflix. If you're looking for a depressing watch, I got one for you. All right, let's get to happier things. Nico Collins on with Chris Long. Nico Collins spent some time with Chris Long on that podcast discussing the Texans. Discussed a lot of things like Nick Caley and what he thinks of the offense, but he also got into the guys on the opposite side of the ball, the defense. The defense built in D'Amico Ryans' image. They're aggressive. They like to hit you. And Nico Collins describes what that is like when you watch them play and when you practice against them.
One of the best units to watch last year, I thought, was watching y'all's defense. The speed they play with at home and the violence they play with, I mean, they're violent generally, but I just felt like, did you feel like it kind of, they get sped up in that building?
Man, Everybody does. Especially with our defense, man. I feel like everybody, it's just the energy they bring. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that swarm mentality. Playing fast. You know, as you when defense playing fast, you know, as an offense, you kind of want to tell yourself, let's slow it down. You know, but I feel like with our defense, man, you got no choice but to play fast. You know, them boys swarming everywhere. But, man, I feel like our defense got the opportunity to be the best defense in the league.
The way they go top down on stuff is like somebody will catch the ball in the flats. It's like over like that. Al Shaier, Petrie will knock your head off.
Man, they got something called the kill zone.
I believe it.
Don't get caught in the kill zone. That's all I got to say.
Where is that? Just so we know so I can stay out of it.
I think it's anything that's linebacker depth in front.
Yep.
It's a kill zone.
There's a fence there.
There's a fence. Don't get caught back in.
I do like the name kill zone. It's a good name for what you think your defense can do if a receiver is floating in the area.
I will say harder to, I would say, like, market it and get, like,
that's true. Can Jim Nance say it? Can Jim and Tony say, he's in the kill zone, Jim? Can he do that?
You're going to want to keep adding draws a giant box on the telescreator.
Like, you know,
this is the kill zone, Jim.
Travis Hunter really wants to stay out of kill zone, Jim. I don't know if you can do that.
Because if we're being honest, it's not that much different than Legion of Boom. You know? Like, what Legion of Boom is trying to... It's a more artful way of saying kill zone. Cam Chancellor will try to murder you.
They do get some bail because they're playing off a wrestling term, so Legion of Doom. But yes, to your point, it's really, hey, if you walk into this particular area, I'm going to knock your head off. But kill zone, you know, has the word kill. It has military connotations as well.
It does feel more military.
Yes, it's a little more aggressive than Legion of Boom. Oh, that's just clever. You just flipped it a little bit.
Yeah.
Kill zone, I don't think there's any interpretation other than you come in here, you die.
Could they as close
as possible to die.
Could they have – I mean, they can still get this nickname off. It'll just have to be like Tyrese Halliburton Haliban. Probably not going to be said on the broadcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Could they have gotten this off, though? Like, I don't want to go too far back. Could they have gotten this off in, like, 2007? Could a defense have a kill zone?
I think times have changed. I think you probably could market kill zone as what you call a particular area that you patrol back earlier. Now you can't even joke about not believing in history before 1950, before people start calling you things. So,
What was that a reference?
What am I possibly talking about? Look it up, everyone. It's out there. Fox News, I think, even picked it up. NBA player says doesn't believe in history before 1950. What does he mean? I think times have changed. They're going to have to find something else. He got jacked up doesn't exist anymore for a reason.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was trying to think when jacked up got taken off the air.
Yeah.
Or when they stopped doing that segment. I do like Killzone. I mean, that is like how they play. They do play like they're
they play
insane
like
people. They play an outdated way of football, and I don't mean that in a bad way. They play defense like teams when you're allowed to play defense.
They play like they know targeting isn't a thing in the NFL. That's how they play. I mean, because now Azeez Al-Shaair still got thrown out of a game.
I was going to say.
But they still play like that.
I mean, he punched someone in week two.
Yeah, but that happened on the sideline.
Oh, okay.
And it just happened to Roschon Johnson. Who cares? He's not Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
You can't do that. If you punch Trevor Lawrence, he would have been thrown out of game.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe murdered by Brandon Scherff and other Jags at that time. So he nearly got into an altercation with that team for doing it on the field. So Nico Collins aware. I think anyone who watches that defense is aware of what they're about. They're aggressive. They're going to force turnovers, at least try to. And they're going to harass your quarterback. If you lose out, if you don't get a productive down out of first down and you're behind the chains on them, gets real ugly for opposing offenses, and they want that to continue. That's how they're built.
I do like that, at least for right now, because this isn't a long-term thing. We're talking about, like, 2 years of this. I do like that the identity of Houston sports is just like, hey, listen, we're just going to F you up. Like, we're just Where the Houston Texans, like, our defense, what's our game plan? Man, just to kill these guys. That is what we're trying to do. We're just trying to kill them.
The Rockets.
Rockets,
we
they're
don't
like.
Take no stuff from anyone.
Yeah.
We will have a NBA version of an altercation anytime you want.
Even,
in fact,
even the way they play offense
yeah,
is like,
it's like
hey, why are you bringing a hammer to a gunfight? They're like, that's all I need. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Like, they're just like, I'll throw a hammer at him. It'll hurt.
Because I got five guys with hammers.
And then two other people run up and then pick up that hammer and start beating you with it.
Yeah.
And the UH Cougs also, like, they play the same exact way, where it's just like, hey, listen, we don't need to make the first shot because it'll be warfare on the glass to get the second shot.
Yeah, you guys better pray we make the first shot.
Yeah.
Because we're going to beat the hell out of you to get that second shot.
I like the continuity as someone who watches all these games. I know what I'm getting.
We're Hunter Brown and Fromber, you know.
It's hard to have that identity. If Fromber
and Hunter want to start plunking people.
I guess that's how you do it.
Yeah. You know, start plunking guys. Then you have an Astro take offense to whatever a pitcher says and goes after him. That's probably not going to happen.
Yeah,
the Astros team doesn't
have
that personality.
They need a Pedro Martinez against that old Yankees.
Don Zimmer?
Yeah. They need a moment like that to, like, solidify them.
Pedro's being nice to that old man. Could have really effed him up. He just slung him to the side.
That is true.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, a lot of people talk about that, but Pedro could have messed that old man up.
Yeah, he kind of Olayed him and pushed
him. Get out of the way, Don Zimmer. Could have been real problems.
Yeah, it could have been way worse if you had squared up on Don Zimmer. That arm that's throwing 100 miles per hour just coming at his face.
Yeah, probably Pedro made the right decision. Don't beat up the old man. Just get him out of your way.
It would.
Do you think
he made the right decision?
Do you think Pedro would be on TV right now if he had punched Don Zimmer?
He might have.
Maybe. Possible.
I mean, A-Rod's on TV.
Yeah, but he didn't punch anyone. He didn't punch an old man.
Yeah,
in the
he
face.
Cheated the game, Del.
We don't
He cheated the fans.
You know, we don't
the
care
game.
About that anymore. Tom Brady's on television too. Bill Belichick, before he got back into UNC, was on TV all the time. Before he got back into coaching UNC, he was on TV all the time. We don't care about cheating that much, unless you reside in this town.
There we
will
go.
See. Now that'll be a real test of baseball's fakeness, hypocrisy. If they draw the line at hiring former Astros. When that time comes, they hire every other.
Oh, you mean like post-plant? Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying. I was going to say, like, well, AJ Hinch and Alex Cora immediately got
I mean,
a job.
Like media.
Yeah, types. Yeah, yeah.
Like, A-Rod's got a job. Ortiz, job.
Yeah.
Will they hire former Astros if they try to go into that field?
Probably not as much as they hire former
Yankees and Red Sox?
Yeah, yeah. That's. Probably. I think that it's like the Dallas Cowboys on NFL coverage where they're just like not overrepresented like in a, you know, super bad way. It's just like CBS, their number one broadcaster is a former Cowboys quarterback. ABC, their number one broadcaster is a former Cowboys quarterback.
True.
Michael Irvin is probably the biggest like NFL studio analyst that there is, or at least the guy with definitely the most juice. It's just, there's just a lot of Cowboys on my TV at all times. Moose Johnson calls games for Fox. Like, there's just so many guys.
Yeah, it's the whole America's team thing. What the former Astros would have in common.
Jimmy Johnson.
Winning titles.
Fox.
Yeah. At the time when they were going all in on hiring those guys and making the shows bigger and broader and you needed more people, the Cowboys were just finishing up their careers.
Jason Garrett.
And were ready to go into that one they could have.
I'm just saying, like,
no, I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah, and so I think the Astros, like J.J. Watt being on the CBS coverage, it's like we might be the Joker.
The Astros are winners, though. J.J., sure, Defensive Player of the Year, but part of the reason the Cowboys are there beyond the America's
is that
they won three Super Bowls. So
Tony Romo didn't. Jason Burton.
Oh,
Jason
I know
Garrett
there's
didn't.
A still a Cowboys thing no matter what you do. I'm sure Dak, if he wants to do it, will wind up on television too.
I think they probably get one or two. I think Bregman and Correa are the two guys that seem most like they'll do media after their career.
Probably.
Like Altuve, I'd be stunned if he does media.
Just leave that man alone. Let him just hang out.
Kyle Tucker also would be surprising. Although I know by that point, like at the end of his career,
would he
probably
be considered an Astro at that point?
Exactly.
Yeah,
George Springer, maybe.
There are some guys, but I am interested.
Oh, Verlander. But again, he's split legacy.
Yes. His impact, at least his initial impact, was as a Tiger. Of course, he did a lot of winning with the Astros. I think that's a guy who will be immune to, because he was a pitcher too.
Yeah. That
he's immune to some of the things that the guys who are in the lineup every day might catch after their careers are over.
Does Brian McCann have a podcast?
He does it with Colby Rasmus.
Does he really?
No.
Oh. I totally believed you.
I have no idea. I have no idea if those two would ever get together.
And once a week, Chris Carter joins? Yeah.
It's perfect because I picked Colby Rasmus.
Yeah, because it's possible that I didn't hear the Colby Rasmus podcast.
Yes, there's a real chance.
I might have just missed that announcement. But, yeah, I guess Beltran. Does Beltran still do TV now that he's not the Mets manager?
I don't know that. I don't know.
One of the two guys to actually, like, never work in baseball.
One of the two guys who have to deal with the actual consequences?
Yeah, him and Luno somehow are the only two guys.
Luno's thriving in other fields right now. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to tell us about your favorite Rasmus McCann podcast moment, the number is 713-780-3776. If you don't have one of those, you can certainly call in about something else. We got a couple more segments to go here.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We played the Nico Collins stuff and then got away from the Texans. Let's go to Titus Howard. Titus Howard, all of a sudden one of your elder statesmen on the Texans offensive line. You got Cam Robinson who's been around, but as far as guys who have been around the Texans and are a little bit older, Titus Howard is probably the leader on that list, and he wants to take on a bigger leadership role. I think speculation is that getting Titus Howard away from Laremy Tunsil was one of the reasons they made the move that they didn't like. Look, the Texans will push back that and say that the O-line room wasn't toxic, it wasn't a problem. And it's not an accusation of toxicity or those guys didn't like each other. It was more that maybe their chumminess was not the way to go about building a good offensive line room. Maybe people weren't held to account like the Texans O-line coach / D'Amico and Nick Casario wanted. So they decided to get a guy out of the room that was probably really liked, but maybe they don't think was a good enough influence on the rest of that O-line group. And they made a move. Shaq Mason was another guy, and Keenan Green is out as well. But now Titus Howard is one of their leaders. At least that's what he wants to be. Here's Titus Howard, and he talked to Aaron Wilson about his new role.
I'm all in on it, you know. Yeah. I'm doing the best I can do to transform my body, transform my daily habits, all that to, you know, show the younger guys the right way to do it. I'm looking forward to that challenge of being that leader in the group. And, you know, I want to be a guy that guys look up to and they're like, hey, man, like, Tyree's doing it the right way. And I want to, you know, do it that way. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
So there it is. They've done what they can to change the complexion of that room. Now we'll see if it pays off. And Titus Howard is going to be dependent on at a new position to get that done. The guy who they brought in to run behind him is Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, another in the line of big name acquisitions that the Texans have made over the last couple seasons, from Danielle Hunter to Stephon Diggs. Nick Chubb's another one. He's coming in a different spot. Those two guys were healthy, and while Danielle Hunter got himself a deal, Stephon Diggs was traded in part because the Bills weren't sure he was the best fit for them anymore, and he's a guy who was looking to renegotiate a contract, and we saw him get a one-year deal from the Texans despite being on being under contract for, I think, three total, and now he's with the Patriots, and he got a new deal himself. So it all worked out for Stephon Diggs despite the ACL. Nick Chubb is a guy trying to work his way back from multiple injuries – And I don't know if there's another big deal in Nick Chubb's future, but a good year at the Texans may extend his career in the NFL. Nick Chubb has met Nick Cayley. He's kind of, not Nick Chubb, but Nick Cayley's probably the guy we know least about that we need the most from going into 2025. Here's Nick Chubb on his interactions, at least his first couple with Nick Cayley.
We talked a little bit. You know, I can tell you he's a very smart guy. He knows what he's doing. He knows his stuff. And, we talked about the run schemes, things like that, what his plans are. I mean, I'm impressed. I'm happy, and I'm excited. For the most part, it's all the same. You know, I run the ball, the same thing I've done in Cleveland, same blocking scheme, it's the same play. So it's been fine from that adjustment.
So some familiarity for Nick Chubb with this scheme. And you know, the Kevin Stefanski, there's tie-ins pretty much across the league if you are in some way, shape, or form connected with whether it be Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay. We think about this entire league. How many coaches can't trace themselves back to one of those guys at this point? They're the guys that people always want to take a piece of because they think if you get a little piece of McVay or Shanahan, you got a real shot to do some big things. And to their credit, their trees have performed better than the tree that got plucked from the most. The Texans have done that, and in some ways they're still doing it because Nick Cayley is a Patriot. Cole Popovich is of Patriot descent as well.
Of Patriot descent.
So how I think of that.
He did his 23andMe.
Yeah, he's got some Patriot in him.
8%.
8% Patriot. Look at that. The hope is, at least if we just go by recent history, that the Rams part of Nick Cayley plays a bigger role than the Patriot part. Just saying.
The devil and the angel on his shoulder.
Yeah, give me the LaFleur version as opposed to the Josh McDaniel version when he doesn't have Tom Brady.
Yeah, I would
although,
take that.
To be fair, to be honest, Nick LaFleur had a year in Tennessee that wasn't good. He got Aaron Rodgers, and look how smart he is.
Yeah.
Then you draft Jordan Love. Look how smart he is.
In a weird way, like Jordan Love, I'm like, actually, you get credit.
You get credit for that one.
For
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
I'm not that sure that Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not that sure either.
Also, Josh McDaniel, as I'm kind of I'm thinking about the NFL for the first time in, I don't know, a couple months of like the actual coaching staffs across the league and all the changes. Because every time I see Mike Vrabel in a Patriots thing talking about Steph Diggs needs to make better decisions about who he gives Ziploc bags to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh yeah, Mike Vrabel's back with, or he's a Patriots coach now.
You almost forget.
Their offensive coordinator is Josh McDaniels.
You know,
that is like, I was stunned when I learned that.
Generally, when a guy gets a second opportunity, he likes to go with guys he knows. That would have given me pause as a Patriot fan if he goes, I'm gonna go hire Josh McDaniels to be my – I'm going to bring him back. Mike Vrabel never coached New England, but we know the ties there playing for all those years.
Yeah, I even said he's back in New England.
Yeah, yeah. But their ties are there, clearly. But hiring Josh McDaniels, that's like, you know, that's the choice you made. You couldn't have got off of Josh McDaniels and picked a different guy.
But it feels like Joe Judge was my second choice.
Would it surprise me? No. just get the band back together, even though he wasn't part of that band, at least not as a coach, and say, hey, let's recreate the thing that no one's been able to recreate off the Belichick tree.
What's the main genius up to?
Is he still on ESPN? Where is he now? CBS?
I'm sure probably somewhere. Has a podcast somewhere.
Sure.
The thing with the Belichick tree is that I think as time's gone on, it's become more and more like obviously none of these guys had sustained success outside the New England system because the New England system didn't have success after Tom Brady left. Like, I think more and more it's like, oh, this was not completely, because obviously there was we're both Belichick and Brady brought out the best like in each other, and just having an awesome coach with the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, you're going to go on a 20-year run doing that. But I'm not sure if we're as unanimous. Bill Belichick was the greatest coach of all time if he doesn't coach Tom Brady for 20 years.
Yeah,
I think he's still a great coach. I think he's one of the best coaches of all time. But I don't know if he just has that same resume if in 2001 he had to figure it out with Drew Bledsoe. And then by, like, what, like, 05, 06, Bledsoe was kind of out of the league. And so now it's like, okay, now that's when he has to draft his Mac Jones, or that's when he has to sign his Cam Newton.
You know, the 20 years of success breeds some type of exceptionalism when you think, well, it'll work out for us because it always works out for us, generally speaking. So whether the fans, oh, we brought Vrabel back. He was part of the great years. Of course it'll work out. Josh McDaniel called plays.
Yeah.
Of course it'll work out. And I'm sure inside the organization, hey, just bring back the guys who are really good at a time when we were really good. It should work out for us. And we will always point out, and rightfully so, and it's not unique to us, that the most important position in sports, you may have had the best player to ever do it. Mm-hmm. That's going to help you, everything that your organization does. And is Drake May going to be a good quarterback? I have my doubts. I particularly have my doubts about Josh McDaniels getting it out of him, who has not done that anywhere. He just happened to be around when Tom Brady was around.
Yeah.
And he has parlayed that into a long career of, I won't say missteps, but not achieving what the people who hired him thought he could achieve.
Yeah, Tom Brady made a lot of offensive coordinators, a lot of Patriots offensive coordinators, right? Made him look awesome. I'd say the same thing with all the Belichick defensive coordinators, like all those defensive coordinators, like they looked so much better because Bill Belichick, it was actually a Bill Belichick joint on that side of the field.
Sure.
And it was more and more seeming a Tom Brady, or at least how well can you work with Tom Brady thing, which that, I mean, that's just a different job description than being a head coach in, you know, Denver or Houston or wherever these guys got hired to. Like, I mean, if you want to count Vrabel, I guess Vrabel is the most successful of the Patriot tree guys. Bill O'Brien's probably number two on that list of like guys who are successful somewhere else as a head coach.
Yeah, now Brian Flores is a pretty good DC. He's been able to do a good job with Minnesota, and as they've increased their talent, his ability to call plays has gotten better, as it does for most people. Like in Miami, if you look behind the numbers, you see pressure defenses, getting after quarterbacks, but you start to look at the quarterbacks he played against and you can start to draw a line between the good ones and the bad ones. You will see the good quarterbacks generally took advantage of Brian Flores' defense. I had a lot of holes in it. He's become less of a risk taker in Minnesota, and they've done well with that. So I would throw him in there at least as a DC. Now, of course, you have his inability to not demean a starting quarterback, and that's cost him his job.
Yeah.
But as far
bedside
as
bedside manners, yeah, tough.
But as far as what he is as a DC, he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah,
too.
But
all that to be said,
Vrabel went to an AFC title game, and
it's
Bill,
true.
Bill O'Brien,
I'm not saying Flores ranks ahead of them. I'm just saying for adding another guy who's been pretty good, at least at one specific job, because you mentioned DCs. I would throw Flores in the mix there. Now the question is, because I like to make jokes, is Vrabel a Derrick Henry merchant? And without Derrick Henry, is he doing any of the things you said he was going to do?
Yeah, Derrick Henry ain't maybe no Bill O'Brien is the most successful ex-Patriot.
Derrick Henry, Hall of Famer, right?
Yes. If he doesn't make the Hall of Fame, then like no running back
should
in the 21st century is going to
make
it.
Yeah, so.
For the rest of the 21st century,
so,
no one's going to make it. After Adrian Peterson retired.
So Vrabel, solid coach. His team will have an identity. I mean, run the ball of Derrick Henry and throwing in-breakers to
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, not a bad way to do things. But the one thing you would give him credit for, he made Tannehill pretty good. At least he helped in that process. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We got a couple more things to get to before we wrap it up for the day, including these sports aren't really off the beaten path, but the only time we really pay attention to them is now. So we'll hear some sound from the CWS as Coastal Carolina continues to win. But much like Gonzaga, there's a way to say their name and the way not to say it. So we'll hear their coach tell us how to say it. And we'll also hear from the Spanish call of a great goal in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Stanley Cup final specifically. And you guys can determine, aren't we all just taken from Andres Cantor when it comes to making goal calls in any sport? We'll hear both those things when we...
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
The summer circuit continues this week. You can join ESPN Houston every week as we visit different restaurants all over the greater Houston area. And each week you can register to win our grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, a $4,000 value. For registration, stop by the promo table at the broadcast. And this week we'll be hanging out, enjoying food and drinks at the Downtown Aquarium. Come out and join us this Friday from 12 to 6 p.m. at the Downtown Aquarium. Find the entire summer circuit schedule on ESPN975.com. So you got Paul, you got the Killer Bees out at the Downtown Aquarium. Never been. Obviously seen it. It's very recognizable, but have never been inside.
Missed out.
What am I missing out
on? I'll be honest. I don't know about, I guess, present day Downtown Aquarium. My Downtown Aquarium knowledge of going there, like, I don't know. It felt like three times a year on a field trip. I know it probably wasn't that often, but that's more, you know, in the past now. So I have a very good idea of what 2000s and 2010s Downtown Aquarium looks like. Less certain. I know they still have the tigers. That's really all I'm...
Tigers?
Yeah, they have white tigers.
Live tigers?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Maybe there needs to be a trip.
I'll show you.
I was unaware. Yeah. Thank you for that. I also was unaware of how to say Coastal Carolina's actual name. We actually had a player in our dynasty who was the coach of that team. And Reese Davis probably said it several times. I just never heard it or registered it. Maybe even Reese was saying it wrong. But this is Kevin Schnall. He is the head coach of a team on a 25-game winning streak. And much like when Kelvin Sampson wanted us all to know how to say Gonzaga, or is it Gonzaga? Do we remember?
It's Gonzaga.
It's Gonzaga. Zag. Because Zags, not Zogs. Gonzaga. Kevin Schnall wants us to know how to say Coastal Carolina's nickname. Here's Kevin Schnall.
Everybody say it with me. Chanticleers. Chanticleers. Not Chanticleers. Chanticleers.
Got that, everybody? When you are watching a team who's now one game away from the World Series, Final Series, Championship Series, know how to say their name. What's that again? I've already forgotten. Chanticleers. Like Shasta. Chanticleers.
Everybody say it with me. Chanticleers.
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 Not Chanticleers. Chanticleers.
What's in a name?
It's easy. Sean.
Chanticleers. Sean Clears.
they named it after me.
Chanticleers.
You know what? They should have just spelled it S-E-A-N.
Yeah, probably Clears. Not. Probably wouldn't do that because it's actually a thing, I guess, as opposed to a random thing they put together to honor you. But Chanticleers. So if you're watching them, Chanticleers. Not Chanticleers.
Yeah. All right, I'll got try that. To remember that in September.
It goes on. Yeah, we'll see. When the college football season
no
rolls
disrespect
around.
To the College Baseball World Series.
When I see that teal turf, we'll see if I remember the name. So we got a lot of that. We got a Hardenstein or Steen in the playoffs. Depends on who's saying his name.
I think it's Steen.
We've got a Gusto or a Gusto, depending on who's saying his name.
I think that one's Gusto.
I believe that as well. And I go back and forth, but I know it's Shasta. But in my head, I see that and think Shasta. But it is Shasta, the cougar, our honored cougar in question in the city. All right, so thank you to Kevin Schnall for telling us what's what.
Say it with me. Chanticleers. Chanticleers.
It's more aggressive. Is it more aggressive than what Kelvin Sampson did? Is it more aggressive?
It's very... There's an aspect of the way he's explaining this that I don't know. I don't know how to explain it other than it is uniquely how a coach teaches you something.
It's true. That's true.
Uniquely coach.
I'm going to say it a couple times and almost make it sound like I'm talking to a dumb person.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what it's not.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what it is.
It is very, hey, I'm saying it a couple of times like I'm talking to a player who can't pick this up.
Yeah.
But if I say it enough times, he'll pick it up.
It's so, like, in a different context, he could be slapping a whiteboard as he's saying it.
And pointing.
Yeah.
So there it is. We'll see if the Chanticleers can win their second.
Almost messed up.
Yeah, I know. It's just ingrained in me. We'll see if the Chanticleers can win their second World Series title. First, have to get to the final series. Okay, there it is. Thank you for that, Kevin Schnall. Let's hear from a more joyous occasion. I'm watching Stanley Cup Finals. It's been a great series so far. The Panthers are one win away from winning their second consecutive. They will play, is it tonight? Tomorrow night, I believe. Tomorrow night.
I know the finals are tonight, so probably the NBA finals.
Yeah, they've made sure not to be on the same day. And it turns out on Saturday, neither one was playing. But they have a game six at home to clinch it against the team they beat last year in a game seven. So Brad Marchand, if you don't know the story, former Bruin, one of the maybe most disliked players by other players in the NHL. He's just a guy who's an agitator. But he's well on his way to possibly winning the MVP of the playoffs, and it's because of goals like this.
Cada careo, ¿verdad, Kenny? Se pone más, se hace más importante.
Arriba para que venga Marchand, Marchand que se autorizó, Marchand puede hacer golazo, Marchand, gol, gol, golazo, gol. De las Panteras, Brad Marchand, espectacular, gol de las Panteras. Otra vez Brad Marchand que se inventó una pintura, una obra de arte. Aquí adentro, afuera, como
so this
pudo.
Is from NHL Espanol. I grew up watching a sport in Spanish because when I was growing up, the only way you could get access, at least in Southern California, without cable to a lot of soccer was to watch it in Spanish. Telemundo or Univision, one of the two. And Andres Cantor was a part of my childhood. Look, his legacy lives on. He's still calling games. This is just what he would call when I was watching U.S.-Mexico, or at least in that case, Estados Unidos. This is the same, the golazo, depending on how good the goal was, the goal. That guy doesn't stretch it out as long as Cantor, but if I didn't tell you it was hockey before, and maybe you didn't hear sticks hitting the ice, you just think that's a goal call in soccer. I didn't know they translate it to the same, to a different sport, but I guess as long as you're using the word goal.
I was going to say, that's the key part to me, is that you can hold on to goal. Yeah. And that's you build a system around
goal.
Around goal.
Like James Harden said, I am the system. Yeah. Goal is the system. And you build everything out around it.
Because, like, you know, it's America's the biggest sport in America. No one's doing that for football. No one's going to field goal, you know?
It's true.
Touchdown, like Andres Cantor or whoever, his acolytes in Spanish language broadcasting, like, how do we go touchdown? How are we going to do this? You have to change your game. When it's goals, you don't have to change your game. It's just like, we got goals down. When they score, we know.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
It's also, in hockey, there's only slightly more scoring than in soccer, on average. The average game is probably a little bit higher scoring than soccer.
Yes, goals are more impactful in those two sports than points are. Obviously in basketball.
Yes, and that allows it to where every time a goal gets scored, God, that was hard to say, every time a goal gets scored, you can hold on to the goal call because you can't do that in basketball.
It's true.
You know, like Lou Dort makes a three, and 5 seconds later, the Indiana Pacers are pushing it down the other side.
You're not stretching out Dort. The impact of the actual scores means quite a bit there, so. Thanks to NHL Espanol, Spanish. When exciting things happen in sports, really can't be beat. Maybe Korean as well. We've heard some good Korean calls.
Korean and Japanese,
but,
I think they
But as
they
far
do it right.
as something I can somewhat understand, because I know it spectacular.
I was going to say,
Panteras, I know
most of that.
I know what that means. Yeah. I mean, of course, goal. There it is. Yeah. I know what that means.
Too. Pantera.
Yeah, yeah. There are some things you
because
can pick up.
Because of Den of Thieves, I know what that is now.
Okay. Always reverts back to Gerard Butler, doesn't it?
It does.
All right. We got one more segment to go before we're done here. And that segment allows for calls. You can get in. 713-780-3776. Me and Sean, for one more segment, we'll be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We'll get to Mark here shortly. We did mention that Alex Bregman, Chaos Agent, strikes again. Rafael Devers, he of I Play Third fame, is now a Giant. Some of the timeline is, we know, when Bregman was signed, they had Devers hitting, or at least fielding ground balls. He didn't like the thought of not doing it at third base. And then there was some talk of him being a DH, and then eventually maybe first was in the cards, and it came to be where he and Boston could not coexist anymore, at least not together. So Rafael Devers in San Francisco playing for the Giants. Buster Posey out here making moves as the Giants decision maker. So, in some ways, or in some cases, you can hire a former legend and have your moves applauded, at least initially. Will Devers become the Montero Abreu for Posey? I feel like it's unlikely, but they gave him some prospects. Now, those prospects are prospects for a reason, and we're not going to know a thing about them as far as if they will ever contribute the way Rafael Devers contributed to Boston's success, but moves were made. Devers is out of the American League. Bregman did your thing. We appreciate it.
He also isn't going to play third on the Giants.
It's true. It's likely
it's a tough,
DH
tough
right
for him. Rafael Devers.
Maybe he'll enjoy the Golden State better than Massachusetts. We'll see. Either way, he's not going to get to play third. He'll still get all his money, which is San Francisco's burden now. They're taking all the money on. So Boston gets the relief there. Boston is also – the ownership of Boston, I think, also owns like Liverpool or something. And while Liverpool is signing, making a giant signing, Boston's trading away one of their stars. Don't think the Red Sox fans didn't take note. Wait a minute. You're signing a guy we've never heard of, Florian Wirtz. But Devers has to go?
To be fair, in soccer, like just because of how less popular soccer is in America than even baseball or basketball, like there's a lot of guys that give $100 million to that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah,
that's true. We can play this game of like, wait, you're paying this guy how much? And it's like, he's actually one of the best players in the world.
If we're making the comparison, he's a better player in his sport than Devers is. If not that Wirtz is, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
In general, yeah.
In general, yeah. He's a better player. But hey, he's not a Red Sox. He's playing that sport overseas we don't care about, so shut up about it.
Yeah. In fairness, if I'm a Red Sox fan,
I'd be
like,
pissed.
I don't care.
I mean, even if there's no real – even these things don't affect each other. You're going to see one thing and think the other thing. Yeah.
Imagine if Jim Crane owned a soccer team and was just like –
and he was doling out money.
Resigning all their legends.
If he owned a team in La Liga and he was just handing out cash, he bought a stake in Barcelona and he just threw cash into it, people would be pissed. They're bringing back Messi for one final run and he can't bring back Bregman. Yeah, people would be pissed off and rightfully so, even if one thing has nothing to do with the other. All right, let's get to Mark. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Dale.
What's up?
Hey, Del, I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy your show.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
I think you – didn't you used to be the producer for John and Lance?
Used to. Then I wasn't. Then yeah. I was, then I wasn't, then I am again. Yes. I've almost
That's the only thing I miss about the John and Lance show, because you used to always, you know, pop in, and your contributions were always appreciated. Because I just think you're fantastic. I just wanted to let you know your knowledge is so impressive. I mean, everything about you. It's a fantastic show. I'm able to digest my lunch every day because I listen to you. So, I just wanted to thank you and let you know that I always listen, and I think you're the best. And just keep doing what you're doing.
I appreciate it. I appreciate being your probiotic. Also, I wanted to let you know that I am still on that morning show. So if you are
I do hear you, but I don't get a chance to listen to John and Lance because my schedule has changed. So I don't listen to them as often as I used to.
Understood.
But thank God I get to listen to you at lunchtime every day. So, but you do a phenomenal job. You're just absolutely the best. And if you ever make public appearances, like if you're going to do a remote show or something like that, of course I'll keep track of that because I'd love to come out and see you. I used to, believe it or not, when John had Sports Night Live. And that was years ago, because I'm old. I'm 65 years old. I used to go to a lot of his remotes back then, and that was like in the late 90s. You should have your own TV show. That's what you should do. I mean, you're just terrific.
I appreciate all that, Mark. And normally if John and Lance are out someplace, I'll be out there with them following up. So, of course, we'll announce anytime we're out and about. And, of course, if it coincides with your schedule, be happy to see you out there. Appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you. Mark,
just keep on.
Thanks, man. Enjoy your lunch. Glad to be part of your day. It is one of the joys of doing this, being able to connect with people. So I appreciate that. And have a good rest of your day. And I guess lunch as well. We'll get to Apollo before we go. He's got a TV show he wants to talk about. What's up, Apollo?
Hey, had a quick question for tomorrow's show. If you could write down your upcoming top three television shows that you would recommend, and also I think that guy that just called in wants your number since you help him swallow during lunchtime.
That's aggressive. He said digest. That's important, not swallow. I'm a probiotic. Don't worry about it. You got gut issues? You need gut health? I'm here for you on your lunch break. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you. And Apollo, less so. But thanks for giving us a topic. He's a segment producer. Apollo, we'll do that tomorrow. Normally, we reserve that type of thing for Friday, but we'll do it tomorrow. Shows I'm looking forward to. Got to do some research. See what's coming up. All right. That music means we're done for the day. Paul Gallant's up next. He is followed by the Killer Bees. Sean, since you and I, at least for this show, are done for the day, what does that mean?
That peanut butter skin.
Is that what Mark said to me? All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.